Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com. And this episode, well, I'm excited about all of the episodes, but I'm really excited about this one. Ahead of women's football this weekend in the WSL, which I'll talk a little bit more about what that is in a minute. We've managed to arrange to speak to some big important people from Sky Sports for a special podcast ahead of this weekend. Now, those of you, probably even those of you outside the UK, will be aware of this. Those of you inside the UK will certainly be aware that Sky Sports overtook the rights, the broadcast rights deal for the Women's Super League this season. So BT Sport had had it for, I think, about 10 years prior to this, in partnership with the BBC. Sky are maintaining that partnership with the BBC because the FA obviously wants a certain amount of free-to-air coverage for the WSL, just to continue to raise its profile. But Sky Sports have come on board as the kind of main rights holder in the UK, and that's a really interesting deal for a number of reasons, but not least because for the first time it actually means that the WSL rights were worth something financially. What had happened previously was that they were kind of given away for free and the broadcasters used to cover the costs themselves of covering. This time Sky Sports have actually put money on the table, not just in terms of bidding for the rights, but in terms of the kind of the overall production values and everything they've invested behind the scenes. And this is one of the things that's really exciting about the Sky Sports deal, because, you know, they've got magazine shows like Inside the WSL and Monday Night Highlights and proper tactical analysis of the games, which I really don't think we've had enough of in women's football to this point. And of course, continuing to tell a lot of the stories around the players and the teams, which I think we have been good at in the media, but perhaps there's been less on the actual product, the football, and that's one of the things I think Sky Sports kind of promises to bring to the table. So what we've got lined up for you today is a two-parter in partnership with Sky Sports, and I just want to say I'm really, really grateful to Alexandra Horton for all of her work in pulling this together. This has been quite a feat because obviously we asked to talk to some very busy people. The first half of the show, I'm going to speak to Gary Hughes. Now, Gary is the director of football at Sky Sports, so that's quite a big, important job, isn't it? And I have a chat with Gary just about a little bit about the concept, why Sky became involved with the WSL, what they really want to kind of do with the coverage, how they want to drive it, some of the people that they've chosen to employ, and some of the investments they've made in the overall coverage. And also kind of what goes into a bidding rights process. So I speak to Gary about that in the first half. And then in the second half of the show, Alex Ibaceta will talk to Caroline Barker. Now, Caroline is the main presenter for Sky's WSL coverage. So she presents a lot of the match day shows, as well as some of the magazine shows as well. And she's going to be, Alex is going to be talking to her, and Nia Wynne-Thomas as well. Nia is the producer for all of Sky Sports WSL kind of coverage, so, and all of their shows. So really, Alex is going to have a chat with Nia and Caroline on the content side, and I guess the presentation of the overall package. So I won't speak for that much longer. I'll leave you with my chat with Gary. Obviously, we've put this out ahead of Women's Football Weekend, this coming weekend in the WSL. Now, just to explain this to people who don't know, this is an initiative a little bit similar to the non-league weekends, which you see. And it's basically every time there is an international break in the men's football calendar, the women's football calendar kind of goes all out. So you get some really big ticket fixtures often played in the bigger stadiums. So this coming weekend, Arsenal will kick off Women's Football Weekend away at Spurs on Saturday at 1:30. But you've also got the Midlands Derby between Birmingham and Aston Villa. Manchester City play Chelsea on Sunday afternoon, obviously a huge game. Everton play Manchester United. So you get these kind of slightly bigger ticket fixtures. And we've put this podcast out ahead of that intentionally. And, you know, we'd encourage anyone who, particularly who might only have a passing interest in women's football, that game on Saturday between Spurs and Arsenal, that's being played at the Hive, Barnett's Ground, and that kicks off at 1:30 on Saturday, and it'll also be shown on BBC Two in the UK. So do get along to that or watch it if you can. Some really, really big fixtures this weekend. But for now, I'll leave you with my chat with Gary Hughes, Director of Football at Sky Sports. Okay, joining me now on the show is Director of Football at Sky Sports, Gary Hughes. Gary, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Hi, Tim. Pleasure. How are you? All right?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. So we're going to talk about, obviously, Sky Sports getting the rights for the WSL, for the Women's Super League in the UK. And my first question really is, why did Sky decide to go so big for the WSL? What was it from a marketability perspective that Sky saw that made them want to kind of get involved in this?
I think that Sky Sports over the years has always been interested in the best possible rights. And I think, obviously, timing, there are right cycles and the rights were up and we were able to bid. I think Sky Sports is synonymous with football. Sky Sports is also synonymous with women's sport. We've got a really impressive and large women's portfolio. And if you marry the two together, it's a perfect match, you know. Women's football live on Sky Sports. I think the timing was obviously right. I think the league has been growing. I think the league was in a good place. I think it's a good place for us to inherit the rights. And we've placed it alongside our premium sports rights and certainly our premium football rights. And it's a fantastic addition to our very impressive rights portfolio, both in football and across all the sports.
And obviously that's like kind of, I guess, from Sky's perspective and from the perspective of the Women's Super League. But I'm also interested in the audience as well, because I'm pretty sure Sky don't just throw sacks of cash down without kind of doing a bit of market research. And I'm curious as to whether you can answer this really, but what kind of market research Sky might have done before kind of deciding to go into this and what showed up in terms of the audience and I guess the potential growth of that audience?
So I'm sure you'll agree that I'm not going to go into all that detail per se. But what I will say is that when there's ever a rights tender, we have a team that works specifically on that, whether that's Premier League, whether that's cricket rights, F1 rights, and we do all the due diligence on those rights in terms of what the possibilities are for us, what the opportunity for growth is around audience, around marketing. So we'd have done absolutely our due diligence on that. I think women's football is a growing sport. I think it, as I said, it's a fantastic addition to our portfolio. And I think what the challenge is for us is that visibility of the women's game is huge. Obviously, we're in partnership with the BBC. We are the major rights holder. We've got a maximum of 44 games. We're actually doing 35 this season, committed to at least 35, and the BBC are doing 22. So I think, you know, together with the BBC, which is obviously giving it visibility as well, and working with the FA, I think we're having constant conversations with the FA now. Over the next 2.5-3 years for the length of the deal, as to how we can actually sort of better position the women's game, continue to grow the women's game. I think it's a very much a learning curve with audiences, with time slots. What is the best kickoff time? What is the opportunity for fans to get to games? What is also the opportunity for our audience, our customers, football fans, families to watch women's football live on Sky Sports? So I think, you know, we are constantly in dialogue with the FA about that. And I think it's very much a learning curve for us. But it was something that, as I said, we've got a huge portfolio of rights and women's rights, you know, women's cricket. We had 25 years of women's golf recently. We've got the netball. So I think it really adds to that. And every right we have, we treat with importance, and we'll always look to grow and market and basically be good partners and work with the FA, who are, you know, we're in partnership with them on an international basis for some England matches, but from a league perspective, I think there's a lot of things that we can do better together to better promote, better grow the WSL.
Yeah, and you preempted a question I was going to come to a bit later, actually, about the partnership with the BBC, who obviously maintain a similar level of rights that they had in the partnership, I guess, with BT. Is that just about, at this stage of the WSL's growth, it being important for there still to be a certain amount of games on free-to-air TV? Is that the kind of the main thrust of the partnership?
I think it was the way that the FA decided to, again, without going into too much detail, to tender their rights. And I think they wanted a free-to-air partner to give visibility. I think what Sky can bring is, and we use this quite a lot, and I'll explain what it means, the Sky Sports treatment. We've brought the Sky Sports treatment to the WSL. And what I mean by that is not just how we cover the matches, which I'll come to in a second, but providing a daily narrative for the WSL, providing marketing, providing visibility. We've got Sky Sports News that is constantly telling women's football stories. We've got our digital platforms, we've got our social platforms. So we can maintain a daily narrative around women's football. I think the week leading up to the season, it was brilliant. I think that I think we went around all 12 clubs. The day before the season started, the day of the season starting, Sky Sports News were all over the promotion of the women's game. And I think that, alongside best-in-class production, and I think if you've seen, and hopefully Arsenal fans listening to this have seen our coverage, we were at the Emirates for the first game against Chelsea, which was a really, really good game and a good win for Arsenal. And we've had a studio that is the same studio as our Premier League. So we changed the colours, because obviously we have different colours for different football strands, but we use the same desk, we use touchscreen, we use the same imagery, and we've also done, you know, Sky Sports treatment. We've treated the WSL alongside our Premier League. We made a very punchy statement that we would do that, and we've delivered that. We've got, you know, we went around all 12 clubs and did what we call hero photography. We shoot the players from head to toe, as we do in the Premier League. So I think, you know, there's obviously benefits to rights being on terrestrial TV in terms of a partnership, but in terms of what Sky Sports can do, we very much concentrate on us, and we concentrate on delivering the best possible product. And via sort of our Sky Sports treatment, that's what we are doing, and we'll continue to do, and we'll continue to learn as to how we can make the WSL even bigger and better.
Yeah, and that's something we'll talk about in the second part of the show, about the kind of the content and the Sky Sports treatment. And I think, someone who's covered women's football for a long time, two things we're quite good at is telling stories around players, which is great. And also we're good at creating one-off events, but keeping that narrative thread and keeping people engaged week to week. But also that like tactical analysis, I think, is really important. It's something we haven't done enough of in the women's game so far.
I have to pick up on that. I think we had Steph Horton on the Monday Night Football. She did the Manchester City game last season. It was after we'd announced the rights to the WSL, and she was massively excited about Sky Sports having the WSL, and the very fact that we would, knowing what we would do, and that is to analyse the game, to critique the players, and that's what they've never had before. And she said it would be really interesting to do. And we did a Monday Night Football. We didn't have a game off the back of it, but Kelly Smith joined Karen Carney. I think you've got Karen joining you on one of your episodes. And I think Karen's the best female pundit in the game. I firmly believe that. I think a tactical analysis and reading of all football, especially the WSL, is brilliant. And she can bring that level of analysis to our game. And it was something that we talked about, that we wanted to do, and that the women's game, like any sport, is there to be analysed. And that's positives and from a critique point of view as well. So that's what we've tried to bring into our level of coverage and really sort of take the coverage up to a different level on Sky Sports. I think we're achieving that, and we'll only get better.
Yeah, sure. And kind of, I guess, moving on subject wise, I wonder if, without obviously giving away details or anything like that, very broad headline, you could talk through what goes into getting a TV rights deal for something like the WSL. Like, what does the beginning and the end to that process look like? And when did Sky really start talking about kind of, you know, the WSL rights are coming up, let's go for it?
Again, forgive me for being a bit boring here, but I'm going to give you a sort of a basic answer and not give all the way the trade secrets. But I think this right cycles are such that we always know when rights are up for tender, or we have an idea when the governing body is going to tender those rights, or an agency. We've got a marketing team, we've got a strategic team, and they're constantly across those. So what would happen is that the that team would make us aware that these rights were coming up. We, you know, the FA would tender the rights. We'd have a conversation with them. It would be then a negotiation. We'd look at what they're offering, whether that's tailored and whether that suits us. We then look at the finances, the strategic side of it, where it fits in with our narrative. Obviously, women's football was a major part. It was probably it's the biggest and the one major sport missing from our women's rights portfolio. And then it would be a conversation. It's an ongoing conversation of negotiation around what for example, in this rights tender, what the FA were looking for from their rights partners, and then ultimately working out what the right number was that we were comfortable with, and what the FA were comfortable with, and then what we could deliver. And then, you know, that's how a rights cycle of any sport would work.
And when it comes to, you know, you've got the rights, and then assembling the team that's going to cover it. And, you know, you've got a lot of people that people would recognise from women's football, people like Jackie Oatley, people like Karen Carney, Sue Smith, who've just been on the circuit for years. When you're coming to assemble that team, was that level of familiarity and authority really what you were looking for? And will that change over time? Because obviously now, with someone like Sky in game, some of these players coming to the end of their careers at the moment, maybe someone like Anita Asante, who's been on this podcast as well, you know, having a media career is actually becoming quite viable. And I'm wondering what that journey looks like from your perspective at the moment.
So it was... It was probably one of the worst kept secrets in the industry that the rights were going to go to us and the BBC in terms of women's football. But until they were actually announced, we couldn't actually approach anybody. So it was actually quite frustrating. And there was quite a long delay. I think I remember probably around this time last year, and certainly before Christmas, we were looking to announce. And then that announcement got pushed back, which obviously gave us a little bit more time to think about who we wanted to get involved. But made it more difficult in terms of having to make those approaches after the rights were announced. But what we always set out to do is have the best in class. And I think we've achieved that. I think in Caroline Barker, we've got a really experienced, established presenter who's presented and been a journalist for many years and got a great passion for the women's game, and arguably knows more than probably any journalist presenter in the industry. And as we've talked about with Karen, I think Karen came out of the game a couple of years ago. She had a TV career, and she wanted to come to us. When I spoke to her, it was immediately that she something she wanted to do, and saw a great opportunity of, in effect, being like the Gary Neville of women's football, being on, or Jamie Carragher of women's football, being on Monday Night Football, doing the tactical analysis. You know, that was a... It wasn't a sell as such, but it was something that we had ambition to do, and she was very excited to do that. And then Jackie, who's, you know, we all know, who's an excellent commentator and, again, well-known in the business. So we always want the best in class. And what we've tried to do is get what Lindsay Hooper is reporting, again, an experienced, very knowledgeable reporter, but always looking for the best in class people, but also looking for, like we had on Monday Night Football 2 days ago, we had Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the studio, and we want current players. We want current managers. We want to engage with the game. We want to engage with the players and the managers. We want them to look at Sky going, you know, we want to be on your programs. And yeah, of course, we want to provide, there's nothing better than having an insight from someone who's in the game and part of the league, knows what it's like to play against these teams, and and how the game's progressed. And as I said, Karen's obviously new out of the game. A couple of years out of the game, and she's still very well connected and close to a lot of people. But there's nothing better than people who are in the game at the moment, playing the game, managing clubs. As our right cycle goes on, and hopefully, who knows when the right. Well, there's a 3-year deal, and whether we go beyond that, it'll be great if we do, and then we can look at the next generation of pundits. I always say, and certainly we're always looking at how we can get the best people who, I always say, been there, done it, won it, and been in big matches, big dressing rooms at big times, and can relate those experiences to our customers and bring those insights to our coverage. So we're constantly looking, and any players who you know are coming to the end of their careers or want a career in media, then our team's very good at having a lot of contacts and speaking to these people, and they are quite forthcoming in terms of, I'll give that a go. And say to anyone who's listening to this in the game, and they want to come on and join us, then give us a shout.
Yeah, we do have Arsenal players that listen to the podcast. I can tell you that for sure.
Excellent.
my final question, Gary, and again, I'm going to ask this in broad terms because I don't expect you to go through figures or anything like that.
Yeah.
When we talk about investing in women's sports, it's often, we talk about it as a growth area and maybe something that doesn't have an immediate kind of ROI, return on investment.
Yeah.
And one of the kind of products that people often talk about in this space is like Diet Coke. Like when Coke bought out Diet Coke, everyone said, what the hell are you doing? Like, we have Coke, we don't need Diet Coke. But now, because of kind of quite a lot of years of investment and marketing, it's one of their big sellers.
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether Sky are in a similar space here in terms of, are you looking at or expecting like an immediate ROI, or is this more of a long game in Sky's eyes?
It's a good question. I think, listen, we are always looking for, we're a business, and ultimately business needs profit, business needs an ROI. I think what we've got to do, as I said in I think we've got to work with the governing body, with the clubs, about how we can best grow the game. I think we've got, you use a Diet Coke analogy there. We have got Premier League, EFL, SPFL, international rights. We've got a WSL rights going in there. We've got Cherry Coke, we've got Diet Coke, we've got Full Fat Coke, we've got every sort of Coke. And now we've added the can of WSL to our list. And I think what we've got to do, we've got to, talk about growth there as well. I think it's massively important. I think it's how we can work with the clubs. And then Arsenal are great at sort of seeing the opportunity to for access and for us to sort of, tell their stories and make these, these fantastic footballers, better known to our customers. We want fans of Arsenal. We want fans who are watching Mikel Arteta's team to be watching the women's team. And that's what we've tried to do. We across all our clubs. And as I said, if there's 10 Premier League clubs who can use their players to help promote the women's game and to get that across, that is a big thing. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang did a promo. Watch Arsenal men and Arsenal women on Sky Sports. This weekend, we've got Arsenal Watford at 2:00 on Super Sunday, and we've got Arsenal women's in the evening at 6:45. In an ideal world, what you'd look at doing, and for anyone at Arsenal listening, if we could do this in future, is play the men's game at 2:00 and the women's game in the Emirates at 6:45. And make an event, make a day of it, try and maintain the crowd and keep the crowd. And again, that's a way of growing the women's game. But we're very keen to utilise what we hope, and what I know we've got good relationships at club level with Premier League. We're learning, we're getting to know the people and the clubs in the WSL. And I think by doing that, we'll only get better. As I said, it's a learning curve, and we'll only over a period of time then, probably be looking at any return on investment. But I think what we're investing in is women's sport. We're investing in, a growing league. And as I said, football's our number one sport, and to have the WSL alongside the Premier League sort of completed the set.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm making the dash between the Emirates and Meadow Park on Sunday at time of recording. Anyway, this will go out after that's happened. But okay. would definitely, it's doable, put it that way, if you're going to the games. But if not, watch them because they're both on. Gary, really, really grateful for your time. Really, really grateful for your insights. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
No problems. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Big thanks to Gary for his time there. I'm sure you'll agree, some really fascinating kind of behind the scenes insights about what goes into a bidding rights deal and I guess what Sky Sports are really hoping to get out of joining the WSL coverage and I guess pushing the WSL coverage to new heights as well. Obviously being director of football at Sky Sports is quite a busy job, so I'm really grateful to Gary for his time and to Alexandra Horton for making it happen. Now Alex is going to have a word with Caroline Barker and Nia Wynne Thomas, the presenter and producer respectively of Sky Sports WSL coverage. So this is Alex speaking to Nia and Caroline Barker.
So we are here with Nia and Caroline from Sky Sports. Would you like, both of you, like to give a brief description of what you guys do at Sky Sports and how you guys integrate into everything? Nia?
Just waving at Caroline to go first.
You're the boss. You should go first, but I'll interrupt you like that.
Feel free to interrupt at any point, Caroline. So my role is the senior producer at Sky Sports, and I oversee all of our WSL coverage around the live games and also a programme that we produce that goes out on a Thursday evening called Inside the WSL, which is presented by Jess Crichton. And then on the Saturday or the Sunday games or both, Caroline and I work together along Karen Carney, who I'm sure there'll be a number of people listening who will be slightly familiar with the name Karen Carney. And we, along with commentators Jackie Oatley and Seb Hutchinson and Lindsay Hooper, we basically put together, throw it together, the live coverage. So I produce, as well as overseeing it, then I produce all the live games from the gallery and make sure that we're on track, liaising with the clubs, talking to the match directors on the ground, talking to the clubs on the ground. And my responsibility is to make sure really that we hit all those editorial points and give the Sky viewers and WSL fans the same treatment, so to speak, or the same viewing experience that they would have if they were watching international football, Scottish football, Premier League football, or EFL.
Caroline,
and my job is, well, no, it's just to listen to Nia like we both did then, Alex, and make sure I don't muck up by talking over people like I just did to you. So I failed on both fronts. And essentially, that is all I do. All I do. Talking. Paid to talk, Alex.
Well, to be fair.
Nah. What? Listen to you? No.
Not always. No. I think just to kind of interact with that one, when we were putting the team together, or you know, when you kind of get given a blank canvas, because we've never done this before on Sky, and you have to establish a team, I think it was proper and right that we put a presentation team together that have worked across women's football, in the been at the forefront of women's football, or just been on that kind of edge of women's football, because the opportunities haven't kind of been there. So it was really key to get someone like Caroline involved, because she's a brilliant broadcaster. She's so passionate and knowledgeable about the WSL. She knows everyone as well. So there's a little kind of list of people that Caroline has in her contacts. And I think to have someone like Caroline, I'm going to blow your trumpet now, or I'm going to...
Please do, because when I do, it's out of tune.
I think it was right that we went with a team of established presenters, commentators, journalists, and Caroline is very much the kind of the front and centre. And for me, it makes my job a lot easier when you've got someone like Caroline that's there, that one puts the guests in the studio at ease. But I think often Caroline and I can be in the same little wavelength with regards to what's coming up. And when I put the running order together, then I know that I can just say to Caroline, oh, this is what we're going to do. And we're very much as a team and as a unit. So thank you, Caroline, for being part of our presentation team.
Ah, Nia, isn't she lovely? She's not normally that lovely in my ear, Alex. No, she is. You're right about the... I think sometimes worryingly on the same wavelength, even down to our favourite part of the show, is what pun shall we put on the little strap lines, the little bit of text that you get when you're going into a break at the end of a game. And that's normally our competition to find out who can get the best one of those, which the guests are now joining in worryingly as well. I don't know if you saw it the weekend when they were trying to get some puns in about Kim Little, a little bit of magic, I think that Katie came up with, that ended up in there, didn't it, as well?
Yeah.
It's a little
goes a long way, we went with in the
end. Oh, little goes a long... Yeah, but I said a little bit of magic out loud because that was better. Yeah. And that's what you should have gone with.
Obviously.
And I think there is that little bit of joy now in that it's a conversation, Alex, between those brilliant guests that we get in the studio. And how lucky are we to put our feet up, eat food, watch football and listen to them talk when... Kaz is in, Karen's in, doing her touchscreen magic again, when she's engaging with her former teammates, people that clearly love her. And you can see that relationship building, whoever it is that walks straight in. And sometimes I think we take for granted that people can just talk out loud the minute that microphone is thrust underneath them, or there's a red light goes on, and actually how nerve-wracking that can be. But the way that Nia, Karen and the rest of the team, down to those that are working on the cameras in the studio, the floor manager, that they managed to put everyone at ease as well, hopefully, and that comes across, it is just like having a conversation or listening in on a conversation with brilliantly informed friends. And that's what they are. You get the tactical analysis from them. You get the conversation from them. But you feel that hopefully you're part of the conversation and not sat on the sofa at home, wherever you're engaging with the show and feeling part of it rather than excluded from a conversation that you don't get. And that hopefully is what comes across from our coverage, is that actually you're learning stuff, but you're also listening to people who you want to listen to talk about brilliant game of football.
We can definitely all appreciate that. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, it was Kelly Smith and Kaz Carney, I think, were doing their starting 11 in the WSL, and I was just kind of sat on the couch. Like, so I was like talking to my television without even realizing. I was like, oh yeah, that's good. Or maybe I would have put that in person.
No,
instead.
Alex, you were talking to us.
There you go. Should have put a mic and recorded myself then.
It's things like that M&F show that we did with Kelly and Karen. I think it was right, Caroline, is that I don't think anything like that has been done in the women's game before. But we see it not week in, week out, but we see it on such a regular basis on Sky. And M&F is a huge, massive Sky Sports Premier League production, a Premier League game for Sky. So to have the ability to do that and have a full hour just to kind of talk with Karen and Kelly and to kind of get their thoughts and have them on the touchscreen. And I think there was this magic moment, which I think I always refer to, Caroline knows what's coming, is when Kelly, and I sent it to her on a text, when Kelly kind of moved her hips when she was on air. And it's just, you know, I kept thinking, oh my God, it's Kelly Smith here just on our show kind of talking about it, because it was just such a magical moment. And
should we clarify, if anyone that didn't see it, she was actually describing how you should shape. She wasn't like auditioning for Strictly or something.
She wasn't dancing.
Exactly. She wasn't shimmying. No.
I mean, she was, but
she was talking about exactly. She was talking about that kind of positioning side of it, and one of the producer or one of the assistant producers in the gallery. We were talking when Karen went on and was explaining about the throw-ins. And one of the assistant producers who regularly works on Monday Night Football and the Premier League side of it said, oh, this is classic M&F. This is what we do on M&F. This is classic. And I was like, oh, great. That's brilliant. Is this great? Look at what we're doing. And I think to be able to kind of not only showcase women's football to so many WSL fans who now have the opportunity to watch us, it's also reaching out to a different football audience. So your traditional male audience who may haven't, you know, who's clearly got an interest in Premier League football, but to be able to kind of integrate that and bring that into it. I kind of described it earlier with a commentator that when I've kind of come on and we've got our team of senior producers and producers that are there looking at, you know, working for Sky across Soccer Saturday or Soccer M&F or Premier League or, and I've just kind of squidged myself in nicely and asked them to bunch up on the sofa and just kind of, I feel like we've just slotted in around that kind of footballing presentation and package that Sky offer quite effortlessly. You know, there was the massive fanfare when we first, and I don't think Caroline or I slept on that first Friday or that first Sunday, because it was just felt like such a massive moment. But now I think it's just, yeah, well, it's just what we do. It's the same. It doesn't feel any different. And, you know, we don't want to kind of go out with a massive fanfare. I think I said, I'm not sure if I said it to you, Caroline, or whether I said it to my neighbour, Joe, that we didn't want that opening weekend to feel like a final, like of a championship, of a tournament.
Did you just say you said that to your neighbour, Joe?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, because I don't know if I told you, but after that first...
I haven't met Joe yet.
No, you haven't met Joe.
No, by the way, Alex, welcome to our conversations that we have every day. So
I love this. I
hope do tell us to shut up, because otherwise it will just go on. Sorry, you're talking to your neighbour, Joe.
But after when we did that first show, I sat outside the car, in the car for about 20 minutes. And then my neighbour, Joe, just tapped on the window and just said, what are you doing? Because she was putting the bottles out and all our friends were at hers. So she just went, come on, just, and we opened a bottle of champagne, I think. And she was just like, you can't just go to bed. You've just got to roll with it. And probably why I didn't sleep that well. But it did feel like it was a massive moment. But ultimately, I think we both, Caroline and myself and Gary and the team included, just wanted us to kind of settle down very quickly and become part of that Sky football catalogue.
Yeah, but there's the difference between us both, Alex. She's on the champagne and I'm on the WKD blue or something with a straw.
Oh, God.
But it was pretty
much.
Let's
not bring those up.
Bring them up is exactly what you do when you have a WKD blue.
Yeah, that is very true. But Caroline, a question for you. Obviously, you've been involved in women's football for a very, very long time. And as Nia mentioned there, this was a big moment in women's football, not yeah, not because it is a final or just because it's something we've never seen before. Any women's football fan will probably agree to that. But how different was it for you working on this specifically compared to everything that you've worked on before?
Lucky in that I've been at Sky for a little while as well. So I'd experienced the Sky treatment with the EFL and working on international football. So I'd seen what Sky is like as an entity, which was very different from how I used to work at the BBC, in so much as you walk in and it's like, gosh, walk straight through the doors and there's huge pictures either side. By the way, if you get the chance to come to Sky Sports, when you walk through on the left, you've got the Premier League champions, as in Manchester City, and on the right, you've got Chelsea, the WSL champions. So it's very much side by side. And that's what you get. So actually going into WSL, I'd worked with Nia before over at Premier League Productions. So I knew how Nia worked and we've known each other for a very long time. So that didn't feel any different. And actually the greatest thing about what we've been able to do is it didn't feel different. It didn't feel different from what we were doing when I've been on a Premier League game, when I've been working on the championship, when I've worked on an international game. The number of cameras, Nia can get down to the specifics of that, but the treatment felt exactly the same, even down to the fact we have the same desk set up as the Premier League. It's just a slightly different reconfiguration. So I've got my big knees behind it in the same way that Kelly Cates gets her knees behind those desks as well. So it's that level of treatment is exactly the same. So as much as we're all a bit giddy, because we were, same with Monday Night Football when we did it, of course, we're thinking huge moments for the women's game. And I've been fortunate enough, Alex, to go to FA Cups, to World Cups, to the Euros and focus on women's football. But I've been out in Canada for Five Live in the BBC at the World Cup when you're watching it back here and it's midnight and however many million were watching it and watching that build. But I've been on my own out there and had Kelly Simmons from the FA having to bring guests into me because I didn't have a producer, and been in that environment where there were very few journalists working on the women's game. Right to BBC London when Charlton's men's team got relegated from the Premier League, and we did a 3-hour show about what was going to happen to the women's and girls setup, and having callers phone in then and parents and players absolutely distraught. And having seen all levels of the game, well done on Charlton coming back up, and through, fingers crossed, we'll see them back in the WSL sometime soon. But having worked on all levels of the game, and then to be sat down actually part of something I sat at home and watched the Premier League, or I'd watched Monday Night Football, and to think, thank goodness, now women's football's getting what it deserves, and that's equality, and that's all we can ask for. And now it's down to us. We knew the great content was there, and content is absolutely queen of everything, right? As long as you get stuff that people want to watch, regardless of what sport it is. I do netball for Sky. I've done multi-sport across all different sports for different broadcasters. Regardless of what the sport is, if you can create and put that content at the front and center, people will watch it and people will enjoy it. And Alex, we sat and we've watched games maybe with a few hundred people there and known that what we're watching is entertaining. We're enjoying it. We know the players, we know the managers, we know the characters, we know they've got good stories to tell. But it's actually being able to say, you know what, everyone else, this is what you're missing out on. This is the hot ticket in town, and now you can be part of it. And that was the real pleasure for all of us, is to be able to say, this is what you've been missing out on. Now sit back and enjoy it, which hopefully, fingers crossed, is what we've been able to do.
And right on the season where Arsenal are doing really, really well. So not too bad. Good timing.
Oh, but have you seen, hopefully you've noticed that we've been ridiculously poor journalists and keep asking all the time, are they going to go invincible and trying to stir it up to get a headline, Alex?
I don't think anyone wants to jinx that just yet. I think it's it's a typical, we'll take it game by game. I think that's the answer for now.
And that's the answer they're giving, right? Yeah. They know how to play the game. They know how to play the game.
They can't get too ahead of themselves just yet, because it is Arsenal at the end of the day.
You said that, not me.
Yeah. I think Tim would have said it too, so it's fine.
Yeah, too right.
Nia, you mentioned there how kind of smooth the transition has been in terms of just putting, it's women's football is just another section of Sky Sports and it's not really any different. But has there been anything that's been complicated or hard that maybe you didn't expect it to be?
Not the only thing I would say is that when you are covering a Premier League game or a European game or a Scottish game or EFL, that the infrastructure is there in place. So as we know, and has been well discussed at the start of the season, which we made a very conscious decision to move away from, because when you kind of talk about goal line technology or VAR, yes, that money could be put towards it, but we're not there right now. And that funding could go towards grassroots football. There's much more work that needs to be done before we kind of go into that VAR discussion. And I think that's met across the entire game. But when you kind of talk about one of the reasons why VAR just wouldn't work is because of ground sharing. So the difficulties that we've had is one about where the fixtures can be and that what TV picks that we can get, again, because of that ground sharing. From Arsenal's point of view, sharing with Boreham Wood, when there was Boreham Wood in the FA Cup, for example, we can't just rock up and expect, right, we're going to televise a game of football here. So it's the infrastructure, it's the bit like the cables that kind of need to go, and the scaffolding for the gantry that needs to go in, and the camera positions. It's those little bits that I think we've all had challenges with. But again, there's a massive amount of team that and effort that goes on behind the scenes, even before we roll those titles, in order to kind of get us to the point that we're there. So a massive credit has to go to that production team that put those infrastructure in place and working with the FA and going on site visits and meeting up with a team from Boreham Wood and Arsenal and Chelsea or Manchester United. And even with clubs such as Chelsea and Manchester City, who've got their own ground, essentially, it's a huge step up, really, I think, with regards to resources and ensuring that it's not just one camera. We've got multiple cameras and positionings and to really enhance what viewers are seeing at home. And again, we keep harping on about that Sky treatment, but it's true. We don't want to belittle any product. So it's the same number of cameras that we've got at our WSL games that we would have on an EFL game. I think that we could massively bring on a Steadicam, for example, especially when it kind of comes to Arsenal, because at this point now, we need to, I know nobody at Arsenal wants to talk about it, but we need to start thinking about telling the story of the season. So when we look back at it, to make sure that we have got the right quality of content that will allow us to kind of tell the story, so that we're not over reliant on TV pictures, or if Arsenal's on the FA player, which I don't think Arsenal are, to be honest with you, just because they'll either be picked by us or picked by the BBC. But things like broadcast days that we had really early on before we even kicked a ball this season, we went out. There was a lovely, when we went, I'm going to say that club that is also in North London. When we went there, the players were so, and I think we had so much response from players, because they just said, oh, we really like we really like Sky when, we have the player lineup and we've got all our all the pictures there, and you see the men when they all line up and their different images. And I said, oh, that's what that section's over there for you. And they're like, is that for us? I was like, yeah, it's all for you. This is all for you. So I think it's things like that. And you kind of see more and more, and if we can do that, then other broadcasters can do that. It's no surprise that I've kind of seen, for the Champions League, that's so if we can kind of start get that ball rolling, so it normalizes our coverage, then it just means when it gets players ready, so that they kind of know, right, okay, well, we're being treated as the same way as our male teammates, we're having the same treatment, we get the same media day. No one really likes those media days, but when you do one every single year, then you've got to do for Champions League and then players are on international duty, but it just puts them front and center. So I think the challenges that we have faced have been far outweighed by the response that we've had, not only from people watching at home that may not necessarily watch women's football, but that core legion of WSL fans, but also from the players themselves saying, oh yeah, we watched the game. Yeah, we've watched your coverage. We think it's great. A couple of weeks back, we had Viv and Lisa in to talk about Common Goal. And it meant that I could take them into the studio, but I took them into our gallery. And, you know, you walk into a gallery and you just see this mass amount of TVs and buttons, and people kind of sat there and they were both a bit, you know, wow.
You got to tell Alex about how brilliant Lisa was on the touchscreen.
Oh, yeah.
Like a complete natural.
A natural.
As natural as Viv is with that 360 camera.
That was brilliant.
And it was actually somebody tweeted, I saw on Twitter last night, somebody saying, oh my gosh, I bet Lisa's the one that's the one that kind of looks after the technology at home. But just going back to, before I kind of get onto their touchscreen moment, which we will release, which is brilliant, is they, you know, when you've got people like Lisa Evans and Viv Miedema saying, oh yeah, we watched at home, you kind of think, oh my gosh, you know, they watch, they care. And it's important for us to kind of say, well, are you happy with it? Did you like what you saw? And they were like, oh my God, it's so much better. And I think players kind of coming out and saying that they can say to their parents or their brothers or sisters or friends, oh yeah, I'm on Sky at 6:30 on Sunday or 11:30 on Saturday, or this Sunday will be on air at 11:30 for a 12:30 kickoff with Everton against Manchester United. Very quickly followed then at 3:00 kickoff for Manchester City versus Chelsea, if anybody wants to watch. But with Viv and Lisa, when they came in and we put them on the touchscreen, and it was the most, Lisa was just amazing. And so we got her to analyse Viv's goals. And they kept saying, oh, we need one of these at home. We need to get one of these at home. To kind of have a play around it.
That would be dangerous.
Yeah, I know. but that must feel weird when you're, partner is basically analysing your goals.
She took it though, didn't she? She took it.
Yeah.
She was well, yeah, in that situation.
Yeah.
If that happened at my house, there would be a separate house at the end of the night. 100%.
But it's just things like that. You can kind of give players that opportunity, I think, to kind of come in. We know that, you know, Alex at Manchester City, when she kind of in a Telegraph column, that she really likes watching the touchscreen and the analytical side of it. And I think for Caroline and I, who both of us have been involved in men's football and coverage of that, it's almost normal to us, but you forget just how not normal it is for our players in the league.
I say that, but I remember being at one ground that will remain nameless with one club and having to stretch across holding two cables together to try and get us on air at a WSL game. Things have advanced so rapidly, and I think it's paying off, but just to hear that the players talk about it and also be so accessible but wanting to get involved. Every time that we get a guest come in, they want to do the touchscreen next. So it's who will you have on the touchscreen next? But you're right. We've discussed at home with Lisa and Viv and whether we can go to them at halftime during random games and get them to analyse it. I mean, I think that's the way forward.
That would be great content, honestly. Just like pan out into Viv and Lisa's flat and then just have them analyse whatever's on.
Like a little goggle box.
Or just have Lisa do it for a live Arsenal game, if she doesn't have a game. Just be like, yeah, Viv messed the shot up. Take her off, please.
Well, Lisa said she was quite happy. Lisa said to me she was quite happy to come in, and I said that Viv could sit in the gallery with a cup of tea, and I think she'd be more inclined to do that one. So
that's she does love brand. A cup of tea. She does love a cup of tea.
That would probably be more on brand.
That's point in case of near pushing things in so much as she wants us to keep doing more, and talks about the Steadicam. And I think that's what's really exciting, is that we're nowhere near at capacity yet of what we want to achieve with the WSL, and Nia will keep pushing it.
Just put a 360 camera in the gallery and you'll be set.
No one wants to see that.
On Twitter yesterday, oh my God, I was, yeah.
It's great. Aiden knows that's quality content. But last question, Caroline, for you, what, from your perspective, maybe personal or not, what has been your reception of everything that you've done? And obviously we've talked about the players and in general, but any experiences that you've had personally in regards to what you've done so far?
I do try and stay off social media, but we've had some lovely messages personally from those that have been connected in the game that we've shared many a long train journey with, or four different planes to get to go and watch games. And when they were never quite as direct, when it was in Europe or watching internationals. So from journalists that have been involved in the game incredibly long time, those that are parents of players too. And that's been, for me, the real highlight is actually just hearing from people, your peers that you respect so much, that have long written about the likes of Tony Layton, that have been involved in the game from day dot. And then hopefully using those brilliant people as well, and to bring on board, and for others to hear those pundits, those guests that we all know are wonderful, these incredibly intelligent women getting to talk about football and taking them to a wider audience. So for me, that's been the highlight for the rest of the world, hopefully, because it is getting broadcast everywhere else, to see these wonderful women in action and the platform we give them. So those individual messages that we've both had, I know Nia's had some too, away from social media, as much as the conversation continues on those different platforms, it's brilliant to have those engage with us clearly, but to have those personal messages from people that have loved the game, just to say thank you for what Sky have done. That's at times been incredibly touching to hear those. So that for me has been the highlight.
Yeah, I think I can speak for probably all of, if not most of the Arseblog listeners, to say thank you, yeah, for everything you guys have done. I definitely have enjoyed it a lot. I personally love having the highlights on the next morning, on the Monday morning, being able to rewatch everything. At least I was on Sky. That's been huge. Don't have to find like 11 minute long highlight videos that have really sketchy, blurry images, but that's been great. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for both of you for coming on this podcast and talking about everything. I think listeners would definitely enjoy the insight, and yeah, thank you again.
Thank you. And I do try to mention Arseblog as much as possible, but every time I go to say Arseblog on telly or on radio, it does make me feel a little bit naughty.
Yeah, a lot of people struggle with it. It's fine.
It's all right. I just do it proudly and loudly.
There you go. So if you say it with confidence and you just keep scoring, then people won't notice.
Well, fart was a swear word in my house, so I struggle with anything fruitier than that, actually, Alex.
Just say Arseblog really, really quickly, and then you can get away with it.
Always.
Yeah, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's all we have time for this episode of the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com. We hope you found that episode as interesting as we did in terms of putting it together. I have to be honest, it's one of those concepts that we had and we weren't sure whether we'd be able to pull it off. So again, just to express our gratitude to Nia Wynne Thomas and Alexandra Horton for really helping to push to make this happen, as well as to our other guests, Gary Hughes and the brilliant Caroline Barker, who presents all of Sky's, or most of Sky's WSL coverage. We hope you found that really interesting. We will be back with another episode, probably in the build-up to the Cup final. We've got something a little bit special ahead of the game against Barcelona as well. So I will have an interview with Jordan Nobbs on the site, and that will be coming out over the women's international break. But we also had the pleasure of speaking to Lotta Wubben-Moy at the Emirates as well, and we'll drop that as part of the podcast that will probably come out in early December or so, ahead of that massive week that sees Arsenal play Chelsea at Wembley in the FA Cup final on December 5th, followed by the small matter of Arsenal versus Barcelona at Emirates Stadium on Thursday the 9th of December. Tickets are still available for both of those games. It's a huge week for Arsenal women.
both of those games being played in huge stadiums. Everyone that wants tickets can get them. They're very affordable. Go get them. But until next time, thanks very much from myself, from Alex Ibaceta, and we hope to speak to you very, very soon. Thanks. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.